Hello, my name is Andrew Denny, and I welcome you back to Couture and Construction, a weekly podcast featuring conversations with talented, prominent guests to shed light on the stories behind the scenes of luxury build and design. This week, we're joined by Ahmed Freeman of Ahmed Freeman Interiors. Episode 62, Empowering the Black Design Community with Ahmed Freeman. In honor of Black History Month, we're focusing on learning how to better serve and empower minority communities and transform this learning into lasting action. Leading Black designers and urban planners share their thoughts on how the design world can better support the BIPOC community. Today, our guest, Ahmed Freeman, founder and principal designer of Ahmed Freeman Interiors, joins us on the podcast for the second time. Ahmed's design journey began in childhood when he found himself tagging along to construction sites with his grandmother, Minnie Lee Freeman, a talented amateur builder who designed homes for her children. However, Ahmed realized transforming that passion into a profession took a bit longer. After a successful career in finance, he made a major shift to pursue design professionally. He studied interior design at Nashville's Belmont University and then began designing bespoke interiors for high-end custom home builders, employing his eye for beautiful, precision details and leveraged his robust project management and financial skills to elevate both design and process. He quickly gained a loyal list of private clients as well. And in 2017, he founded his firm, Ahmed Freeman Interiors, serving clients throughout Nashville and surrounding states. Since joining us in our inaugural season in 2020, Ahmed brought his signature harmonious edited style to a national stage after being chosen to participate in the iconic Home Show House, a virtual showcase for noted Black designers produced by the Black Interior Designers Network and Architectural Digest. His home office design, sponsored by CB2, perfectly encapsulated his ability to personalize the space with warmth, comfort, and design, an eye-opening visual impact. Fueled by continued interest in his design work and expanding client base, Ahmed engineered a 2021 expansion to a new market, making a move to Chicago while retaining his close ties and working relationships in Nashville. Ahmed continues to share his talent and insights with the design community and brings an innate love of design and passion for intentional, thoughtful detail to every project. Ahmed, thanks so much for joining us again. Really, always a pleasure to have you and have a conversation with you. One of the things that jumps out to me that I just love in our intro for you is precision. When I think of your design, I always think of precision and just cleanliness and excellence. So I love that adjective to describe your work. So again, welcome. Thank you for taking the time.
Okay. Thank you for having me again.
So first off, just to get started, let's get our audience up to speed. You're in the Windy City now up in Chicago, and you are kind of working all over. Give us a quick update on you.
Yes, I moved to the lovely Windy City of Chicago. I absolutely love it. I love the diversity, the culture, the food, the buildings, of course, everything about it. I wanted to make a move and I wanted to make a change in my life personally and professionally. And I thought Chicago is just such a great city. I've always enjoyed being here. The energy is really high. And so I wanted to, when I chose to move somewhere, I wanted it to be something completely different from Nashville, in which that, you know, is what I got. It's not as big as New York, but it is not as, you know, small as some other cities. So I thought it was a good mix and a good balance, and I'm enjoying exploring myself and Chicago as well.
Well, that's really, really cool. And yeah, it's definitely one of the premier places on the planet. It's such a beautiful city. And I'm sure it's probably pretty inspiring to see some of the architecture and art that a city of that size offers on a daily basis.
Oh, yes. I mean, I have taken so many walks just throughout the city in the different neighborhoods. I'm always inspired, and I have my, everybody has their phone out. Instead of taking selfies, I take pictures of buildings and the details within those buildings, and that helps me in my design process. So it is a great city to be inspired in, and just watching the people walk around and everybody's head is like tilted up and not down at their phone. So it's exciting. I love it.
Oh, that's really cool. That's awesome. That's awesome. Okay, so let's dive into today's topics and tell us about your grandmother, Minnie Lee, and how she impacted your design career. I think this is a fascinating story.
Yes, my grandmother had 10 kids, and we didn't grow up with a lot of money, so those kids obviously had to move out and create their own nest. And so the way that my grandma did it is she built their homes. It wasn't anything that was high-end by any means, but three bedrooms, one bath, you know. So she kind of, I guess, kind of learned how to be a contractor. So she would start with the basics. I remember her asking people how to do things, and she just kind of tackled it on her own. And when she was doing that, when I got of age to kind of help hold nails or like pass her lumber or somebody, give somebody something, I would always be excited to do it because I could see the space in my mind, which at the time I didn't realize that's what I was able to do. And then just as I grew up, she just kept doing it. And so I would start giving her pointers. And, you know, like, hey, if you move this door over here, we could put a head, you know, we had a headboard wall for the bed. And if you would move, you know, put this trim here, or the sofa's going to sit here and it doesn't need to be in the doorway and nobody's back needs to be to the, you know, to the window. And so she always encouraged me to go into architecture because she just felt like I had a really good eye for that kind of stuff. And I was really good with numbers and adding and subtracting. And it just came so naturally to me. I don't know how to explain it, but as soon as she would start sketching things down, I would immediately want to see it and make adjustments to it. And so she was very nurturing of that, and she would always call and even ask me my opinion later on in life when she wasn't able to build anymore. She was doing her own home. She would always just call and say, hey, take a look at this. Tell me what you think. So she really did nurture me, and I didn't understand that until I took my own journey into finding true happiness with my work and with my personal life. And so, you know, I came to a day where I was just kind of sick of the mundane work of finance, and I just wanted to explore what it was that I wanted to do for a living that I could be happy at, and it didn't seem like work. And so obviously I came to design, and here I am.
That's an amazing story, and she really drew a gift out of you that set the stage and gave you a foundation.
Oh yeah,
that's really cool. Now, is Minnie Lee is she still living?
No, she passed on maybe a decade ago or so.
Oh, geez, okay. Okay.
Yes.
Well, what a lasting legacy she left with your work. And it's amazing that I'm sure your work is still to this day inspired, and how proud she must be to know that from really coast to coast, her influence has a little imprint on design.
Oh yes. I have to honor her and give her all the credit for it, because, you know, when I was on my journey of trying to find out what it was I wanted to do, she was there even during that time. So I do have to give a lot of the credit to her, and she encouraged me, and she was just a beautiful woman inside and out. So I do have to honor her, Minnie Lee, for this.
Very yeah. Grateful. Well, I think there's a lesson we can all take from that. And, you know, again, that nurturing spirit, if whether it's child, grandchild, friend, colleague, stranger, you know, I'm a big believer that we all have gifts, and encouraging one another and trying to draw those gifts out is really an opportunity to do something special. So that's a really cool story. Yes. So we're on today talking about you know, it's Black History Month, and the interior design community definitely seems a little underrepresented by people of color. And one thing that's interesting is our previous guest, you know, we got talking about this, and when I sat back from my perspective and thought about it, I thought, okay, the Black community has had such an impact on creativity in our culture, from music to the visual arts to fashion. And it occurred to me that as far as interior design, it's not nearly as represented as it is in these other creative spaces. So, in your opinion, how do you think the design world can better support Black and minority communities so that there can be a better voice? Because it would lead to nothing but improvement to have that perspective. So share with me your opinion on that.
Well, I mean, that's a kind of a tough question, and I have pondered that over the years. I think that it's going to have to start, just in my humble opinion, start at home. Nurturing those gifts that you see in your child, whether it is to be a decorator or an architect or an interior designer, or, you know, even if you're a vendor, you know, I think that if your child has a special desire to go there, we need to encourage that. And then also in the school systems, I'm not really sure that the deans or the powers that be go to minority high schools or elementary schools and talk and educate people about what interior design really is. Because, you know, a lot of times people in general don't even understand what interior designers do. I think that they think that we just pick fabrics and pillows and whatnot, when there's really a lot, you know, of information that's not out there to the general public. And that's what I always do when I take on a client. I educate them, first of all, you know, what I bring to the table and how we need to be included into the process a lot sooner than, you know, just at the end. And so we, as interior designers, just in general, need to communicate that to the world and not just, you know, make it seem like it's, you know, some luxury, you know, career that we just have a lot of fun and don't really do a whole lot, and we shop with other people's money. I think it's much deeper than that, and it definitely takes more talent. And then we need to recruit from, you know, schools that have more minorities. But again, I mean, I don't know what the answer is, but one thing that I did when I was at Watkins, before they got bought out by Belmont, was, or merged with Belmont, was I taught an adult continuation class, and I encouraged people that were of color, you know, through my social media and whatnot. I would just say, hey, this is what's going on. If you've ever thought about being an interior designer, come check out, you know, an introductory class that's adult continuation, so you can get a full understanding of what we're doing. And we take all shapes and sizes and ages. So within my class, there was a lot of people from all over, you know, even people who were here short term from other countries. And so in that classroom environment, there was a good mix of young, old, older, you know, all different races, all different backgrounds. So I think that we should be doing more things like that.
You know, I think those are some amazingly good insights. And one of the things that hadn't occurred to me was the recruiting. You know, it's very interesting, even from my background. And I think that interior design is something unique because very few people, at least in probably more now than ever, because I think there's more interior designers now than ever, but it used to be a very, 1% of the population would maybe use an interior designer.
Right.
So I think that, you know, growing up, I had no idea, aside from the TV show Designing Women, which I thought they were, you know, I thought that was basically just decorators. I had no idea that that interior design was even an opportunity for a career. You know, I felt like that would probably fall under the scope of an architect. So I think it'll be really interesting to combine what you just shared to understand what happens over the next 20 years with the advent of more media such as HGTV that really explain what an interior designer does. And that it's not decorating, but it's really how a person is going to interact with an environment. So it is for everyone. It's in every place we've been to of significance, you know, has had that interior design component. So I'm excited about the next 20 years to see what those things have done. But more importantly, it'll be really interesting to see if that wake, so to speak, has impacted, you know, people of color as significantly as the rest of the population. Because, again, it's all about creativity. The way your brain processed back with your grandma, you know, that was a gift. But if you wouldn't have been exposed to that when you went on your search to see something, you know, maybe it would have been a completely different path. So I think that nurturing component is just so critical.
Oh, yes. I think we as designers and maybe some TV networks should show some of the things that go on behind the scenes. And, you know, I understand that there has to be a flavor of glamour and, you know, people want to see that kind of things, but we need to figure out how to, you know, walk people through like the process and somehow make it more interesting because, you know, everybody has a glamour about being an architect or a glamour about being a basketball player. You know, we have that fame and stardom about being a singer, but there is nothing that is wrapped around interior design that makes it glamorous other than we get to shop for furniture. So it's just so much more to it. And I really feel like we need to show that aspect of it. And that's the reason why I wanted to teach, because I wanted to reach, you know, people and let them know, like, we're, you know, real working hard, you know, we're really hardworking professionals and we deserve more credit than just fluff.
Yeah. Well, I think one of the things, again, that stands out is you saying when you were designing with your grandmother, you know, we don't want people sitting with their back to a window. Mm-hmm. Those are things that, unless you have that perspective, end up happening constantly.
Right.
And but that's a lifestyle thing. That's not a glam thing. That's a professional, you know, change in design in the way of the structure. So that's, you know, there's obviously the glitz and the glam of the big reveal, but there's a lot of work. And I think you hit the nail on the head when you use the word professionalism and study and accreditation that goes into that end result. It's a whole lot of learned skill and natural talent.
Yes.
So you mentioned teaching and you mentioned some ways that the next generation of can be encouraged. What was your experience going back to school and in associations that you're in currently? What kind of outreach do you see that encourages that next generation now currently being a successful, you know, designer?
Well, for me, right now here in Chicago, I've been asked to sit on a board, Designs for Dignity. And what that board does is go to the community and helps, you know, battered women or women's shelters or, you know, like health clinics. And it gives those people places to go that's more designed. And it gives, you know, like the health clinics a better work environment. So I think that's a really good way to reach people who don't know much about interior design. When people go through the interior or the process of doing a space or their home, they learn a lot. And I think that they have a tremendous respect after the process is done about how much we actually do and how much we actually improve their lives, which they don't really know outside of just working with one. And like you said, in the past, only 1% of the population could work with an interior designer. And so a lot of people, you know, 90% of the people didn't even know what we did. They just thought, you know, like, I can't afford that, or I don't want to call Ahmad because when I look at his interiors, I know that I can't afford that. And, you know, so we need to just educate. I think it's just so important that every person that we contact or every person that we come in contact with, we need to first let them know what it is we do and then make it exciting for them. That's what I do for my clients. Hey, let me deal with the hard part, but we still need to walk you through. It's not just about buying a towel, a piece of towel. It's a, you know, like when I, one example I gave with this one lady, it's like, you like fashion, right? Yeah. Well, a lot goes into that sweater that you have on or that button-up dress. You know, we have to think about the buttons. We have to make a pattern. We have to figure out how to stitch it all together. What profile of the sleeve do you want? You know, so do you want a horn button? Do you want the button to click in? Or, I mean, there's so many details that go behind it. That's what I feel like as a design community, we need to start communicating to the client instead of just, hey, go pick out this tile and that's that.
Yeah, I think that's absolutely right. It's so much more than just picking out pretty things. That's really the easy part. How all of those things work together, because there's plenty of pretty things. So, hey, you're doing this iconic home showcase. Let's talk about that. How were you chosen for that?
I've got a call from the lady who's over the Black Interior Design Network, and she just dialed me up one day and called. Her name is Kiera, and she asked me if I wanted to be a part of that. And might I add, that was a good step in the right direction to get more Black interior designers involved and get awareness of us, because it was on a national level. And Architectural Digest and Architectural Digest Pro really put that on the map. And a lot of people have contacted me about it, as well as a lot of Black interior designers, because they got excited about it. And they're like, when do you think they're going to do another one? And how can I get on board with doing it? And, you know, and everybody did such a great job, and we didn't realize that we had a Black. I've had 4 or 5 Black families contact me just in Nashville because I was a Black interior designer and I happened to be in Nashville and they liked my work. So it just put me on just a whole nother playing field. And I think that that is what we need to start doing more in order to get, you know, the next generation of Black interior designers out there and make people aware of them.
So tell me a little bit more about the Black Interior Design Network.
It's a group that's out of Atlanta, and they have a reach of all of the U.S. And, you know, you can go to their website and you can become a member. And it's just, you know, we go around to different design shows. I've been to several, you know, in New York, Dallas, Atlanta. And they just, it's just a network of people of color that are interior designers. So if someone wants to reach out to, you know, a person of color to help design or just get a different viewpoint, they can go to the Black Interior Design Network and check it out and pick a designer. They're all really, really good designers.
Yeah, so that's really a cool thing that our listeners need to be aware of is we'll post that website in our show notes so that people can explore that a little bit more. And again, one of the things that is neat about the change is there's a great example of an organization that is probably going to have more inroads to young people just through members' families. You know, if your grandmother had 10 kids, that means you have a pretty big family now, I would expect. Okay. So they all now know an interior designer. Growing up, I bet you didn't know an interior designer, especially one that was part of your family.
No, not at all. You know, some in my family in particular, everybody wants you to be a doctor or a lawyer, you know, because they understand what that is and they understand that you make money. But a lot of people don't understand that in interior design, you can make money. I mean, you can have your own business. It's lucrative. You know, there's a lot of good things that come with being an interior designer. But just know, to me, it is a tough career, and it's not everybody's not cut out for it.
Ahmed and I were talking before the show. The one thing that's unique about interior design, and, you know, doctor, lawyer, obviously the same thing. All of these things are very personal, okay? Mm-hmm. Talking about your home, seeing the way you live, and the expectation of how you want to live become very, very personal. And that's different than just buying a commodity. And because it's an expensive process and because we tend to be, you know, in homes long term, the consequences of decisions made are long-term mm-hmm. decisions. So it's a very, very personal career. And people's expectations, I believe, are significantly raised when you bring a level of personal touch to it. So, Ahmed, we're getting close to our time up. Tell us something about you and where your business is going. Share with us some things that you want our listeners to take just about you and your career.
First of all, I think that people should follow their passion more, just on a personal level, instead of doing things that to chase the money. I think that we should chase our passion and the money will follow. That's one thing that I've definitely adapted to, and it has paid off in dividends, and I'm happier at the end of the day. One direction that my business is going is now I'm considering myself to be a more national interior designer. I've been in a lot of national publications. I moved to a bigger, more on the scene, I guess, city. And so I'm doing a huge show house here in Chicago. I'm going to be doing the Grand Staircase. And so it's a prominent address here in Chicago. And so I'm looking to expand my business here. But then I also want to keep to my ethos of clean, you know, simplistic environments that people can come home and rest and not have to look at a whole bunch of stuff. So I think that, you know, during the day, our lives are very busy and we see and do a lot. So I want a space to come home and it be clean and relaxing. So that's the direction that I'm going.
Again, I love that precision. Your design is so clean and just soothing. It is very relaxing. And for how busy we all are, it's nice to step into that type of design where it just, it's soft and clean. Yes. And, okay. Well, rapid fire is where we are. The last time you did rapid fire, questions have changed. So, favorite book. And actually I think this is three. Favorite book, book you're currently reading, or a book you'd like to recommend.
My favorite book at this point is The Surrender Experience by Michael Singer. I love it. It's talking about his journey into life, and how he's surrendering his life, or he's surrendering himself to what happens naturally in life. And if you can do that, then you don't know where your life could go. And I haven't gotten to the end of the book, but just stop trying to control everything and just let some things go and let life just kind of happen on its own. And some wonderful things can happen. And I mean, I've started practicing that. And just in a week, I mean, some life-changing events have happened. So that is my favorite book right now. And I suggest a lot of people read it.
Oh, that's awesome. That's awesome. Beach or mountains?
Beach. For sure.
Yeah.
You know, I've been
especially
a fan
right,
of paintball.
Especially right now in Chicago.
Oh, yes.
Or Nashville.
Yes.
Yeah, give me the Caribbean right now.
Sure.
What is the favorite room in your house?
Oof. I'd have to say it's my bedroom. Just after a full day, just to go and lay in my bedroom and watch TV or read a book or just lie there and breathe. I mean, it's just the space that everyone can have that's their own, and they can escape everything else and just tune into themselves. So I would have to say the bedroom for sure.
I think I agree. Especially the older I get and the busier we are, all in kind of the middle of our careers. Man, by the time you get to that bed at the end of the day, that is a nice, nice place to be. And it's a great place to start your day as well. So,
Yeah.
Listen, Ahmed, thank you so much for being our guest and sharing your great perspective on empowering the Black design community. For more information on Ahmed, please visit his website. And that's www.amhadfreeman.com. So ahmedfreeman.com, and follow him on Instagram at ahmedfreemaninteriors. But we just are so thankful to have you on. I always love connecting with you, and I get to maybe see you next week when you're back in Nashville. So check out our show notes for links to follow and connect. And for a list of organizations that are uplifting Black voices in design, architecture, and more. So next week, we'll be diving into a new theme, the business of design. Until then, I'm your host, Andrew Denny. Thanks for listening. If you enjoyed the show, we would love you to share Couture and Construction with your friends and colleagues, and we want to hear your feedback. Please leave us a review on Apple Podcasts or Spotify. Couture and Construction is brought to you by Textures Nashville, produced by Davis Osborne and Chelsea Ran, and is recorded live in the Textures Nashville showroom within the Nashville Design Collective.